Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Welcome to The Vocal Minority, with Nick and Steve broadcasting live on the Really American Media platform. You all have joined us just in time for our political week in review. Keep in mind, champions, this is all need-to-know news. News you need to know. It's been another wild boar of a week, oink oink. So hop to it, boys. Let's get this dumpster fire under control before we start our weekend.
Yes, another dumpster fire. That's a good way to put it. Welcome to The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Back at it again, the resistance live on YouTube and the Really American platform. Welcome, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching that show Shrinking on Apple TV, and one of the characters said that their relationship was literally a dumpster fire, and it drove me nuts.
Yeah, that's one of your pet peeves. I get it. Maybe it is literally a dumpster fire. Like, maybe it's burning. You don't know yet.
I suppose if she's homeless and lives in a dumpster, which is on fire, and she's, like, making love to somebody in the dumpster, then her relationship would literally be a dumpster fire. So, otherwise, people, stop using the word wrong. It's got a real specific meaning.
I'm just glad you're finally watching Shrinking. It's a hell of a show, dude. Are you into it so far?
I am. Jason Segel's great, and I don't know how they got Harrison Ford in that show, but it's great. So check that out. A little non-political advice from the Vocal Minority here.
That's right.
Who has a website, thevocalminority.net, and we have social medias. We're on TikTok. We're on Blue Sky. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and we have our own page on YouTube in addition to being part of the Really American Media family.
Which is an honor and a privilege, for crying out loud. Thank you for joining us live. If you've downloaded or just come to the YouTube page on Really American to watch the podcast, we appreciate you being here, part of the resistance, and here we go.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show. We have a comment line, Steve. 844-48-VOCAL. You can call and make a comment on the show if you want us to talk about something. And if it's a great voicemail, entertaining, we'll play it on the show, for crying out loud.
That requires a telephone. Nick and I started the show on the radio, like, I don't know, 30 years ago at this point. And we used to take phone calls for people in the audience. So we still have the option. People are more keyboard warriors nowadays, and that's fine because, there's a live chat going on Really American. So we'll keep an eye on that, and any relevant comments we will pass along. But we are live just after 10 a.m. here on the West Coast on this beautiful Friday, whether the weather's good with, you know, where you're at or not. It's a Friday, so that's beautiful.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should get into a little news. There's lots to cover today, so let's hop into it, y'all.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you this.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special.
Here is a news bulletin.
We interrupt this program to bring
you. The humanity and all the things.
A state which will live in infamy.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Johnny Gilbert, for crying out loud.
Steve Harness.
Hey, that's me. I got a jingle. Do you have a jingle? I know you do, Nick.
Yeah.
I'm asking the audience.
Oh, okay. Likely not.
Probably not. That's true. Yeah. But that shows we're real radio people. We had jingles done.
That's right.
So we're authentic.
Yeah. I got a bit of a headache today, dude. So do what you can to not make it any worse, okay? That's my warning to you.
I am physically, emotionally exhausted. I am hungover, and that's just from reading the morning news. So,
you've been drinking this morning? You're partying it down a little bit there?
Yes. I had to Irish up my coffee a notch. Is that racist, or is that still acceptable to say?
Oh, I think it's still acceptable to say, and I'm not lying when I say that the coffee I'm drinking is an Irish coffee, so...
You do that. Yeah. You slip Baileys in there. I do not. I had tequila last night, but obviously I'm sober right now. We're talking to the masses. How inappropriate for you to infer otherwise.
Yeah. That would be an FCC violation, but who knows? We do all kinds of FCC violations on this show with the current administration in charge, right?
Yeah. And we're out from under the FCC's thumb, but they're still in the news today because... As we've been talking about for a while, this deal pending with Paramount and Skydance, the $28 billion merger, which a lot of people think is why Colbert got fired. And we know that Paramount paid $16 million cash to Trump, but then also offered him about another $16 million or so, $20 million in I don't know what they're calling free PSAs or commercials or some garbage like that.
First of all, PSAs are always free, dude. It's a public service announcement.
Yeah, for a nonprofit, which Trump's old businesses were all nonprofits.
Right.
I mean, not technically. They made no money. But yeah, it seems like he's planning on using these commercials or whatever for his own little agenda, which is beyond scary.
Yeah. Oh, for crying out loud, dude. I just, every turn this story makes, I just think, are we living, is this real life? It looks so much like everything is happening at the direction of the orange meatball, and it looks like bribes are happening. When we did see everything happen with Gobert when he lost the program, I mean, he hasn't lost it yet, which we thought, oh, that's great. He's going to keep talking crap about Trump. And we were correct. He has not let up at all. He's still talking about Trump, and he's talking about this whole deal. So it's nice to see someone talking about it. And it takes a lot of nuts, dude, to talk about it on that platform.
No, it does. And as we discussed last week, like normally in the world of entertainment, you don't fire someone and then keep them on air because they become very dangerous.
Right.
So I think it's hilarious that he's unleashed. He's got nothing to lose and he'll get a next job just fine. So that's great. And we'll talk about South Park in a moment, who's also part of that Paramount world who was piling on.
Right.
And by the way, just real quick, you know, speaking of the FCC, which I've got a story about, but you and I come from the radio world, and anytime you give a political person airtime, you're required to give equal time to the other side. Now, that's generally during an election season, I get, but I don't quite understand how Trump is going to be getting his own little commercials and that time won't be offered equally to other political agendas.
I call it the corruption of the cabinet.
Yes, that's fair. And yeah, you know, one of the things Colbert probably got fired for was making jokes about this whole thing being a bribe, where Paramount needs the FCC to approve this merger, and they gave Trump all this money. And then, like a bribe works, yesterday the Trump administration, the FCC, approved the merger. They didn't even want to wait a while and make it look slightly better. Like, they got their bribe, they fired Colbert, they approved the deal.
Yeah, you would have thought that they would have danced a little bit, made it look like there was an intense investigation. We're, you know, dotting all our I's, crossing all our T's, but they don't have to pretend in this day and age.
No, apparently not. And that's somehow become part of Trump's defense, or at least the Magites around him. Well, he's doing it out in the open. Like, if it was illegal, he would be hiding it.
Yeah, which makes zero sense to me, but somehow it's become a thing.
Yes. So in the FCC world, there are generally three people that sit on this board, and it's usually bipartisan, or maybe it's five, I don't know. But they try to have a mix of Democrats and Republicans to keep the FCC bipartisan, because it's not really supposed to be a partisan entity. But nowadays it is. Trump appointed his head of the FCC, who was instrumental in the whole Project 2025 thing. He was a big part of that, and now he's running the FCC.
Yeah.
And there is one Democrat left on the FCC, and they are not happy about the Skydance-Paramount merger. The only Democrat on the FCC yesterday decried what she described as the reckless approval of a merger between Skydance and Paramount, warning that the move will hurt Americans, which is part of the Trump agenda, I feel like. So she said, in an unprecedented move, this once independent FCC used its vast power to pressure Paramount to broker a private legal settlement and further erode press freedoms. She went on to say, undermining the legitimate efforts to combat discrimination and expand opportunity by overstepping its authority and intervening in employment matters, I think that's Colbert reference, reserved for other government entities with proper jurisdiction. And even more alarming, it's now imposing, and this is true, and this is the scary part, it's now imposing never-before-seen controls over newsroom decisions and editorial judgment in direct violation of the First Amendment.
Mm.
And she's referring to this language that got put in there that CBS promises to represent all viewpoints and to make sure the news is unbiased. Which, how the hell do you determine what is unbiased nowadays?
Well, at the direction of our dictator. I mean, that's right. Basically what it boils down to. This woman that's sitting there solo as a Democrat is somebody who is trying to protect the First Amendment and do things right. What a lonely position, dude. I mean, what a lonely freaking place to be. I always think about, you've seen that show on Fox, The Five, with Jessica Tarloff. I always think, what a lonely position to have on that show. I mean, she does a hell of a job sticking up for what is right and what is true. But what a lonely, lonely place to be.
Yeah, I mean, Tarloff shines on that show, but I feel bad for her that she has to be the one to shine.
Yeah.
And that she's constantly getting beat up. And don't ever forget, people, Sean Hannity, his original show, do you remember what it was called?
Remind me.
Hannity and Combs, because Combs was the liberal. And their original concept was the left and the right. And then the Fox viewers got sick of the left, so they fired Combs. And it was just Hannity from there forward.
Wow.
Yeah, and I will tell you, in one of the other ventures I'm working on out there, I got hooked up with a guy who is developing what could end up being a multi-million dollar thing. I don't know. But he's developing a AI algorithm to take the bias out of news and present an article to you free of bias. And I was hooked up with him because someone wanted me as a news person to talk to this guy. And it immediately kind of triggered me because bias, you know, I mean, Fox News and Newsmax, their bias is obvious. But on the quote unquote left, is it bias if we say that global warming is real? Is it bias if we report a story that makes Trump look bad? Is that bias or is that just facts? And I would argue it's facts.
Completely. But it depends who you ask, right? I mean, that's the kind of cycle we're living in for sure. That's crazy.
Yes. And those on the right, they don't want it unbiased. That's why Fox News does so well. They want to live in their bubble. They want their garbage regurgitated. So I don't know that this app is going to work very well. I don't know that it's going to technically work very well as to how do you determine what bias is. But I'm not sure that half this country even wants unbiased news.
No, I mean, I'll include myself that, you know what, it's more comfortable. And I like to be in my echo chamber. I do. I do step out of that because I have a duty to report the news and talk to people about what's going on. So I do. It's uncomfortable, but I step out of it. You know, I tune into Fox News and I try and get an idea of what they're saying. And like we've always said on this podcast, dude, if they do something right over there, I'm not afraid to admit that. It just happens so infrequently that it may seem like I'm biased, but I'm not. I'm reporting when they do something good. It just doesn't happen all that often.
I question. You said you step out of your bubble every now and again. That implies that you're in some left-wing bubble. Like, I don't think MSNBC is necessarily a liberal news station. I think they call facts as facts, and if the facts make one side look bad, like, yeah, they're not lying. They're not issuing retractions. You can fact-check Rachel Maddow or Chris Hayes or Lawrence O'Donnell. You're not going to find, you know, factually incorrect stuff, and if you do, they will issue a retraction, which once in a blue moon they do, but
yeah.
Again, like, if it is it bias if you're just reporting a story that makes one side look bad?
Right.
As you know, I do local news in my community, and I don't, unlike Really American, I don't put any commentary, any humor. I just do straight news. And a week ago, I did a story that affected – I'm on the border of California and Nevada, and both states sued the Trump administration over funding freezes for after-school programs.
Right.
And so I reported on the story just factually. You know, California and Nevada affects both states. I covered the thing. And someone, you know, messaged me of like, oh, I see you're taking a political stance now. I'm not going to follow your website anymore. And I'm like, what political stance did I take? You just don't like that I reported facts and it makes your team look bad.
Totally.
And a bunch of people chimed in like, there's no stance here. There's no commentary. You just don't like that he reported a story that makes you look bad.
Yeah, I saw that story. And I think the only thing wrong with it was that it had Trump's name in it. You know, that's why that's, you know, if Trump, you're reporting that Trump is doing something that's not good for the community and all of a sudden you're taking a stance. That's total BS, dude.
Right. And by the way, like, I even used a flattering picture of him, which was hard. I mean, for really American, I have a whole pile of dumb-looking Trump photos that I use all the time. So I had to, like, consciously be like, all right, I need to just do a picture of the man.
Right. Just, no goofy look on still, his face. Somehow. Yeah.
Exactly. But somehow I was still biased. So anyways, so on this Paramount merger, I love that this one person on the FCC is speaking up. But yeah, Colbert has been great. All the other late night hosts have his back. And then, yeah, this South Park thing this week. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
What do you think about all that?
Oh, I think it's fantastic, dude. I mean, if you take a look at from even just The Simpsons to South Park, you know, they do play a role in our world of political commentary. Not only political commentary, but they always have and they always will. Most of those shows, you know, I call it a cartoon. It's not necessarily a cartoon like Looney Tunes because the writing is so well done and there is political commentary and pop culture commentary, all that stuff. But yeah, I don't think that's ever going to change. I think it is wonderful that South Park, I hesitate to say they went after Trump because, again, they kind of just told the truth. And the truth was funny and outrageous. And, I mean, they talked about his peen a little bit. I mean, maybe that's not necessary, but I found it to be hysterical.
Well, and all evidence states that he does have a micropenis. Yeah. So, I think they're just reporting facts here. But, I mean, this is a core function of America and a pop culture, whether it's SNL or, yes, you know, comedy stuff. Like, this is a long tradition that goes back over multiple presidencies. And, you know, obviously you never heard Obama or Biden bitching and moaning that SNL's making fun of them or, you know, they were goofed on South Park. But... So, yeah, South Park did this just evisceration of an episode, but again, like, based on real things and based on real animosity that a lot of people are feeling. And, yeah, the White House had a little meltdown yesterday, and this is part of the liberal democratic, like, you just won't cut us any slack, you know, like, yeah, because you don't deserve any.
Completely. I've got an article pulled up. We're going to play a clip from South Park, and I don't even have the whole section of what happened on South Park. I have the meat and potatoes, you know, but there is some graphic stuff in here that the White House is saying, like, what the hell was that? And, you know, all the MAGAs are freaking out, like, how disrespectful. That's one of the great things about this country. We get to do that, right, to our president. Yeah.
And by the way, Comedy Central is not under the purview of the FCC. So there is no... You know, I've heard people say, is the FCC going to go after South Park and whatnot? Like, FCC people, that applies to radio and television over the public airwaves. So a cable network is not under the thumb of the FCC.
Completely. But yeah, this article I have says South Park almost aired an even more graphic version of Naked Trump. So let me play this clip for you. And yeah, then we can discuss a little bit. Let me make sure this is live.
Mr. President, why are you placing these new tariffs on Canada? What are you, some kind of dictator from the Middle East?
A dictator from the Middle East? Hey, relax, guy. I'm just your average Joe. Take a rest.
The people of Canada will not be devalued like this.
Hey, come on. You don't want me to bomb you like I did Iraq.
I thought you just bombed Iran.
Iran, Iraq, what the hell's the difference? Relax, guy. Hey, what the f*** is this, better?
This is the painting you asked for, sir.
Why's my dick so small?
But that's the size it is in the photo.
Get this guy out of here. I'm gonna sue you. I'm gonna sue both of you. Nobody makes fun of me and gets away with it. Hey, Satan.
Don't want to right now.
So
I love it.
Yeah.
Satan's not in the mood for Trump.
Yes. He and Satan go on to have a whole conversation and stuff. But I mean, I thought that was done very well. I mean, it's everything in there is how Trump acts. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what I saw.
threatening to sue everybody and has a little penile. And yeah, I mean, and yeah, that whole episode, the AI generated where it's human Trump when we see his butt crack and everything, like,
yeah,
it's disturbing as hell. I can't get that out of my brain, but funny and obviously protected as free speech and obviously open to the free market. Like, if people watch the show, which I got to say, I kind of stopped watching South Park years ago, but those guys are still extremely relevant, which is the other thing the White House tried to say, like, this show hasn't been relevant in 20 years or whatever. And whatever. I think they're working on, what was it, a $1.5 billion renegotiation with Paramount?
Yes.
So I think South Park's doing just fine.
Yeah. Trey Parker and Matt Stone actually toned down several scenes before the episode premiered on Wednesday. Let's see. The South Park controversial Naked Trump episode nearly aired in a much more provocative form, according to people familiar with the production. Creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone were reportedly editing the 27th season premiere, Sermon on the Mount, right up until the day of broadcast, because I guess they were somewhat nervous about it. I mean, as far as they knew, there'd be some backlash from near half the country, right?
Well, and plus that story was still unfolding with the whole pick, because they make fun of the Paramount merger and all that. And
right.
I give them credit because they are animated, but they push it as close as they can to put as much current stuff in there, which, like, The Simpsons doesn't have that privilege because there is a different type of animation that takes months to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, South Park, nice job.
Yeah, completely. I love that he's like, Iran, Iraq, you know. I mean, that's our president, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah.
No, that's great.
Pretty crazy. So we'll see where that whole, I think we know where the whole merger and everything, they approved it. You know, we think, is there going to be any more bribes? We'll see what happens. But yeah, this is unfolding, and I'm sure we'll continue to see a lot of BS.
Well, and Trump is now, you know, I'm hearing that Kimmel's next and Fallon's next. And
yeah.
So I'm curious to see, and those aren't all Paramount people, I know, but I'm curious to see if any other news or comedy people do end up losing their jobs. And yeah, what these commercials or public service announcements look like and what the unbiased news looks like. And apparently they put someone in charge of essentially overseeing Paramount now to make sure their news is unbiased. Like, how freaking North Korea can you get?
I was just going to say that, dude. Like, my teeny tiny brain is imagining what you see in North Korea, you know, like propaganda at its finest. So I guess we'll see where it goes. America. Hey, dude, what do you know? I mean, I don't want to depress people, but there's a little joke in all of this. But what do you know about this Idaho killer, Brian Koberger?
I mean, we're Facebook friends. I've known him for years.
Oh, you are? And you can still do lunch on Wednesdays?
What do I know about him? I mean, I know he denied it forever, and now he, you know, copped a deal. And, yeah, Trump tried to do something where he shouldn't get the death penalty or something. Like, why? I want to say why he would even get involved is beyond me, but I think we all know anything to distract from the Epstein files, he's just throwing everything out there. So for some reason, he weighed in on the story, but what do you got?
Well, Brian Koberger, for those that don't know, was a guy who went over and killed some girls, snuck into their house and killed a few girls in Idaho at a university, okay? He was finally being sentenced. Propaganda Barbie did make a brief statement on this. Here you go.
I would like to begin with a message from the White House to the families of the victims in the brutal murder case in Idaho. We are so sorry for the grief and the pain you have experienced at the hands of such a vicious and evil killer. If it were up to the president, he would have forced this monster to publicly explain why he chose to steal these innocent souls.
Wow. You really seemed genuine when you were reading that. Like, we're so sorry, you know. What a joke, dude. If it were up to the president, that he would make him explain why he did it. I mean, he's crazy, dude. He's a murderer. He was obsessed. He was a loner. We know why he did it. Does it really matter at this point?
No, I don't know that it does, and I don't know why the president thinks he's the king and can, you know, manipulate everything going on out there. But it's another fine example of stay in your own lane. But again, he's trying everything possible to distract.
Yes. Well, we saw, this is the deal. Idaho District Judge Stephen Hippler sentenced Brian Koberger 30 to four consecutive life sentences for the 2022 fatal stabbings of four University of Idaho students. The victims' families and others involved in the case provided emotional impact statements in court, including the victims' two surviving roommates. Here's the deal. These families came in, and when we talk about emotional impact statements, these went on and on and on, and I think that they should have. And some of them were so great, they all looked at them right in the eyes and stood there and said exactly what they wanted to say. I'm going to play just a small clip of one of the best. I mean, this tickled me for sure. See how you feel about it.
You may have received A's in high school and college, but you're going to be getting big D's in prison.
Ouch.
I mean, wow. That's the truth, right? You may have received A's in college, but you're going to be receiving big D's in prison.
Wow. I had not heard that little clip.
Yeah.
What, does she hire a comedy writer? Holy crap.
Like I said, these were all obviously really emotional, but there was a lot of anger behind them. But yeah, I thought it was great that he had to sit there and listen to all that. I mean, he's obviously a sociopath, so I don't know if it means anything to him, you know, but it's nice to have to sit there and listen to it, so...
Right, the Comedy Central roast of Brian Koberger there.
Yeah, jeez. Big D's in
and
prison.
Right, that's well written right there. I might have to steal that line. So, but do you think you could ever be one of these people that would stand up and say, "I forgive you for murdering my child, my husband, my dad, like whatever it is"? Like,
no.
Could you ever do that? Could you forgive the murderer?
No, I couldn't. I mean, maybe years later, I think I would torture my soul for a long time, and maybe eventually a therapist would get me to a place where I was like, "I forgive him." I have a hard time saying it now, and nothing's happened to anyone I love, you know?
Yes. Yeah. No, listen, I know that holding on to that kind of stuff eats you inside,
sure.
But I just, oof. I mean, especially one of my kids, I don't think I could ever be that person to say, "I forgive you." Like,
yeah.
Baby, I forgive you. Let's go out back in the alley real quick. Jeez. And by the way, I love that you called her Propaganda Barbie. I often refer to her in that way as well. And someone on YouTube was laughing that you called her that. That's great. But I don't know. I make a lot of comparisons to people in my Really American videos. And I love it when people get pissed off at me. Like one time I compared Trump to an orangutan. And people are like, "Don't say that about orangutans. You know, we love orangutans. Right. How dare you?"
Yeah.
And one day I called Pam Bondi there. I called her Legally Blonde. Like Legally Blonde Propaganda Barbie was saying this today. I can't tell you how many people chimed in. Do not compare Elle Wood to Pam Bondi. Right. Do not besmirch Legally Blonde's good. I was trying to go with the wide view that Legally Blonde was a perceived
sure.
as a dumb, you know, lawyer or whatever. But I get it. She's the hero at the end of the story. Everyone loves her.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking about the scum of the earth, dude, people do not like it related to people that they, you know, enjoy. So I get it. But right. Come on, people.
I thought it was funny, too. I did a video where professional clowns don't want us comparing Trump to clowns anymore because it makes clowns look bad, which is funny. But a lot of people are like, "Oh, come on, clowns, get over it." I'm like, okay, so we're defending orangutans but not clowns?
That's,
these poor clowns.
That's
they really are taking it on
the chin. I love it. Hey, dude, should we talk? Are we going to talk about Epstein and where it's at right now?
I've got a brief update list if you want to run through that or whatever you got.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a little video update of what's going on, but let's get into your article and then we can play the video.
Okay. I don't have an article per se, but I've just taken some notes this week because this whole frickin' Epstein thing, on one level, it is dominating the news cycle, which I find hilarious as far as it's driving Trump world crazy,
yeah.
This mega civil war, anything to encourage infighting over there. But I'm also, as far as somebody who, you know, how we cover the news, like Epstein, like sometimes I just want to find something not about him. And there have been days this past 2 weeks where it's just like, that's all that's in the news. So I want the pressure on, but I also would like to talk about some other things. But
agree.
Yeah, I wrote down some notes. So let's see here. First of all, confirmed he's in the Epstein files. That does not mean he's in there as far as, you know, doing things with underage girls, but he's in there. And I'm not in there. You're not in there.
Right.
Know, like, being in there at all is just sus enough. And obviously, we're hoping for some smoking gun or whatever, but it's not. And, you know, Obama's name's not in there. Like, there's all sorts of people that you could claim, I didn't do anything illegal, but you're hanging out with the guy that does. And apparently, you're friendly enough with him that you've been on his plane 7 times or whatever we know Trump has. So.
Yeah.
We know that not only are his names in there, but that he was told this several months ago. So, gee, I can't imagine why he wants to distract.
Yeah. No, we know that he's good friends was good friends with Epstein. I do wonder what's in there. I mean, well, I don't know. Should I play this video? Because I don't know what I can say and what I can't, because I don't want to repeat stuff. So let me play this, all right?
Sure.
Tonight, the Wall Street Journal reporting that Attorney General Pam Bondi and her deputy, Todd Blanche, informed President Trump in May that his name appears multiple times in the Epstein files. They reportedly told Trump they did not plan to release the files, saying they contained child pornography and personal information about the victims. Tonight, the attorney general saying nothing in the files warranted further investigation or prosecution. Trump and Epstein were friendly for more than a decade, socializing in New York and Palm Beach. Epstein was asked about their relationship in a 2010 deposition in a civil suit.
This is crazy.
Have you socialized with him?
Yes, sir.
Yes?
Yes, sir.
Have you ever socialized with Donald Trump in the presence of females under the age of 18?
Though I'd like to answer that question, at least today, I'm going to have to assert my 5th, 6th, and 14th Amendment rights, sir.
In February, Bondi said that client list was in her possession.
It's sitting on my desk right now to review. That's been a directive by President Trump.
But over the July 4th weekend, the Justice Department and the FBI Avenged. Said the list doesn't exist, and that they wouldn't be releasing any more information about Jeffrey Epstein. Under pressure, the president later instructed Bondi to ask courts in Florida and New York to release grand jury testimony in the Epstein case. Today, a Florida judge denied that request, saying the DOJ didn't provide enough of a justification for releasing that sensitive testimony, adding the court's hands are tied. Tonight on Capitol Hill, Republicans and Democrats on a House Oversight Committee voting to subpoena the Justice Department to release the full Epstein files.
It's unbelievable in the sense that, Pam Bondi says, like, we're not going to release it because there's child pornography in it. And then her next sentence is like, there's really nothing more to investigate in there. Like, that's not worthy of investigation. You're not going to go after the child porn.
Yes. So first, the files are sitting on her desk. And at one point, you remember, they invited all these MAGA people down for an Epstein file special event where they gave them this binder. And all those people said there was nothing new in the binder. But, you know, I just love the files are on the desk. We released a binder. No, there are no files. There's nothing to see here. Oh, yes, his name was in it. Oh, wait, Obama wrote them and Biden wrote them. They don't exist. They do exist. Like, I mean, it's hilarious to watch them do this mental gymnastics to try to get around it. And yeah, Trump this week, you know, oh, the real witch hunt is Obama. You should be talking about Obama. We caught him red-handed doing a conspiracy to overthrow the government. Don't presidents have immunity? Well, I don't know what to tell you.
Know. Unbelievable.
Like, we're going to go after Obama, but we've established now the presidents can't be prosecuted when they're on. Like, it's just such a freaking hilarious contradiction. And I love that most people are seeing right through it and calling them out.
Thank God that they are. Do you remember, dude, there was a time, a long period of time, that Obama, when he spoke on stage, like he wouldn't even say, he wouldn't even really go after Trump when he was speaking, you know, because it was unpresidential to speak that way and stuff. He finally got to a point where he was like, I have to. I mean, I have to do it now. But can you imagine that Obama was like, let's put something together that's great. Let's, you know, like, that's not Obama. No one's an idiot, that much of an idiot, you know.
Of course. Not to mention Trump had 4 years prior to do whatever this is. So, no. This whole thing where they're interviewing Ghislaine. Is that her name? I always say it wrong. Ghislaine Maxwell?
Yeah. Ghislaine.
Yeah, so they interviewed her in prison yesterday. What in the holy hell is that about? Because, I mean, first of all, she's already testified a zillion times over in depositions, in court cases. She has lied under oath multiple times, but admonished by the judge in those cases as being untrustworthy.
Yeah.
And I was listening to a legal expert, I think it was yesterday, basically saying that, you know, a lot of people think that she might be trying to cut a deal to get out of prison, but that the rules essentially, or the laws state that the only way you can be convicted of a crime and then later offer up some sort of testimony to lessen your sentence or get out is if it's new information. It can't just be stuff you sat on through your trial. That would be completely unfair. You could lie about all this stuff, get convicted, and then be like, oh, wait, I can turn this person to that person. So she would have to have new information. And I don't think she's been out, you know, pounding the pavement to go find new leads.
But isn't it just new information that she releases? It's not necessarily it has to be, dude. I mean, if she was.
It has to be newly discovered. You can't just be sitting on something and then get convicted and then release it.
Interesting. I didn't know that. I thought she would be able to just come out and talk about the names on the list and be able to get out of prison earlier, you know.
Now, I will tell you, though, I don't know that that excludes pardons, his favorite little party trick. Like, that's talking about cutting a deal with the Department of Justice for testimony.
Yeah.
I don't know that Trump couldn't just pardon her. Now, obviously, that would make him look even more guilty, but I don't know that he cares about that. Mm. He'll spin it into, you know, Obama framed her and I'm writing a wrong.
Totally right, dude. You're totally right.
So, yeah, fun right there. A couple other highlights of the past week that weren't in that article. We found a new... he signed a copy of his book to Jeffrey Epstein. I think this just came out today. And the note he signed just said, to Jeff, you are the greatest. To the guy that he now says is a creep. And who wants to talk about him?
Yeah.
You are the greatest, Jeff. The
greatest. Wow. What book? Art of the Deal?
It was some other, the Art of the Comeback or something that he wrote, that someone wrote for him years ago.
Yeah.
And then we also heard new testimony, or not testimony, but an interview from Epstein's old girlfriend that said that, you know, Trump and Epstein were tight as, you know, thick as thieves, that Epstein talked about Donald Trump more than anyone else. And the quote that came out of that interview was, they were up to no good. You know, I mean, what could that mean?
We know what it means.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean... up to no good.
In that video, in that article video that I played, did you not find it just completely crazy that Epstein couldn't answer the question, have you guys ever hung out with girls under 18 together? I mean, he paused for what must have been 4 or 5 seconds and then pleaded the fifth.
I don't want to say that there's no scenario ever where somebody who's innocent would plead the fifth. But if you're pleading the right not to incriminate yourself, the obvious implication is if you answer the question, you're going to incriminate yourself.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, if someone asked us, hey, Nick and Steve, you ever socialized with girls under the age of 18, excluding like maybe a family member, the obvious answer is no, we've never done that. Why would we?
Of course.
And if I take the fifth, then somebody's hiding something, clearly.
Yeah. Is this just all, I mean, are we just talking about this and we'll continue to talk about it and it's not going to go anywhere? Is that your prediction?
I don't know. I mean, I find it hard to believe there's some smoking gun sitting out there still, but who knows? I mean, we keep getting a trickle of whether it's the birthday card or this new, signature in the book. We got a bunch of new pictures this week of the two of them together. And again, on this topic of whether or not Trump is guilty by association, like one of the pictures that came out this week was at Trump's wedding to Marla Maples and Howard Stern was there. And there's a picture where Stern and Trump and their wives are taking a picture, you know, and in the background is Jeffrey Epstein. And a lot of people are like, oh, well, I guess Howard Stern is now guilty. He's like, no. Jeez. Stern was at a public event, and Epstein happened to be there. Trump was on the guy's plane. There's a huge difference there.
They hung out.
And, you know, Stern's name is not on those flight logs or anything else.
Yeah, of course, dude. I mean, it's I don't know how it couldn't be any more obvious to everybody that obviously he has done some shady stuff. We've heard from victims. I don't know why we're not believing victims. There's sworn testimony from several different victims of what happened, and it's not all completely like he raped me. There's victims talking about them grooming and situations that almost happened, but they got away. You know, there's, it's just, it's obvious. So I hope that something happens for the victims, you know.
For sure. And that is part of why some stuff should not be released. Like, you know, there is sensitive information in there that some of these victims may not want public. So I get that. And there are very specific rules about, excuse me, about releasing grand jury testimony. You can't just do it because the president said, you know, do it.
Yeah.
So I think that was probably the correct ruling by that judge. So we'll see.
Said his hands were tied, dude. It's kind of kinky.
Yeah. Yeah. Can we talk about Jerome Powell? Because this might be one of my new favorite Trump videos that has come out this week.
Yes.
So Powell calls out Trump for using fudged figures. Go ahead and play the video, and then let me get my liberal chubby out of the way, and we'll discuss it.
Okay.
So we're taking a look, and it looks like it's about $3.1 billion. It went up a little bit, or a lot.
So
the 2.7 is now 3.1.
I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, it just came out.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard that from anybody at the Fed.
It's right there.
Arno said it about 3.1 as well.
3.1.
3.2. This came from us?
Yes. I don't know who does that.
I love it that he's
you're including the Martin renovation. You just added
our entire capital plan.
Yeah, you just added in a third building. Is what that is. That's a third building.
Well, no, but it's a building that's being built.
No, it was built 5 years ago. We finished Martin 5 years ago.
It's part of the overall work.
But so it's not new.
It's not new.
I love
that video. Seriously. Trump always tries to just gaslight everybody. And Trump thought he was like, oh, no, it just came out. Look at this. I have it in my pocket. Here's the paper.
Right.
And I'm sure he expected Powell to just be like, oh, crap. Like, he brought the receipts. Like, oh, I guess we should just apologize or ignore this. And he puts his glasses on. He starts reading it. And media is like, no, you included a third building in this.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's built. Part of the project. Yeah.
So yeah, funny.
Part of it that was finished 5 years ago. And who was president 5 years ago?
5 years ago, dude. That is classic. I love the fact that Jerome Powell just doesn't give an F because Trump can't do anything about it, you know? So he's like, yeah, no. I mean, he can't fire me. I'll tell the truth. And, you know, he's still bitching about, well, just drop the raids. You know, you're going after me and you're trying to make me look like a piece of crap president. There's no inflation. Drop the rates. And yeah, no, Jerome Powell is doing what he is hired to do. And don't forget, Trump said he didn't hire Jerome Powell.
Right. Who appointed this guy?
Yeah.
Who appointed him anyway?
Right. And he did,
Mr.
Dummy.
Dementia.
Yes.
Which is hilarious. And yeah, Jerome Powell is an actually smart dude. So to try to, you know, just pull one over on him in real time and to do it in front of the global media live on television,
yes.
You got fact checked to your face,
yeah.
Inflating the numbers. And then there's this other fun part of the story where part of the reason this project is over budget is because frickin' Trump 5 years ago was like, no, we need marble tiles. It should be elaborate, you know, like Trump Tower. Like, okay, we can't just use regular tiles, huh? We're going to spend an extra million or whatever on marble tiles.
Of course. Please. You know what's funny to me, dude, is I thought about it. As soon as I saw that, I was watching DVR and I rewound it and watched it again and again. But I was like, you know what Trump is the king of is we've seen some of the greatest faces when he said certain things. Like I remember specifically like Dr. Fauci made some incredible faces when he was listening to Trump talk. Who's that doctor, that lady that, you know, was sitting there? I can't remember her name, but when he was talking about injecting bleach and stuff. Yeah. Like we get to see some,
our eyes.
Yeah. Some really good faces. And I don't know if you noticed in the beginning of that clip, but as soon as Trump says like, you know, we're 3.1 over budget, his face is just like, oh, no, we're not. Like, that's crazy talk.
Yeah. No, his face lit up and he just starts shaking his head immediately. Like, I haven't heard that. Oh, it just came out. Here it is in my pocket. Let me look at that. Oh, you've added a building. And I loved that his little talking head in the background. I was like, oh, that's our numbers too, sir. Yes, 3.2 billion, actually, I believe is the number.
Idiot.
No, you're both lying, gaslighting propagandist. And you got busted by a guy with an actual college degree that could read it and tell you. Like, it took him 5 seconds to spot the glaring problem with it. And
that so is funny, epic. Dude. I love that. We need more of that, for crying out loud. I earlier this week, I texted you something about Trump, and I said, I feel like an idiot here. Will you tell me if I'm an idiot or not? This is just another thing to prove that Donald Trump doesn't know how to do math properly. I don't know if you saw this clip, but here's the thing that I'm all for. I'm all behind Trump pumping and dumping, dude, that he is going to get drug prices down, okay?
Sure.
I saw some of this drug price talk from Trump, and I immediately contacted Steve. I was like, I can't make sense of this. Can you? This is a clip I was talking about.
We're going to get the drug prices down, not 30 or 40%, which would be great, not 50 or 60. No, we're going to get them down 1,000%, 600%, 500%, 1,500%.
What is it?
Up to 15,
numbers that are not even thought to be achievable because I've
they're not
used a certain talent that I have and convinced the drug companies that you have no choice. The drug companies were selling drugs, same company, in Europe and other places.
Dude, I said to you, how on earth do you get drug prices down 1,500%? Wouldn't they be paying us to take the drugs at that point?
Yes, yes. So I'm not great at math, but if the drug costs $100, if it goes down 1,500%, they'd either be paying you $1,400 or $1,600. I don't know. But either way, they'd be paying you to take it. You can't reduce something more than 100% without you then, you know, giving it away on top. And I had to think about it when you texted me. Like, I started thinking, like, what in his mushed up old Alzheimer's dementia, whatever brain, how did that make sense to him? And I really do think that in his mind, he thinks about stock prices. Oh, the stock went down 1,000 points, 1,500 points, 500 points. Like, I think that's what his mushed up brain was thinking. Like, it's going to go down 1,500, but which wouldn't make sense for drug prices, period. But right. I think that is where his brain is going. But yes, I love, it's going to go down 1,000%, 600%, 500%, 1,500%.
He doesn't understand that, like, if the price is going up, then you could use those percentages. But if it's going down, it can only come down so far, Dumbo.
Yeah, that's fair. A price could go up 1,500%. I mean, that would be absurd. But yeah, sure. You know, and oil prices could go up 200% or something. But it can't go down 200%. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I wish that was the case. We would all just be getting Ozempic or whatever just so we could
totally
the money.
Yeah.
And I'm all for drug prices coming down, but can we use some like real world math? Would that be possible?
Completely, dude. I don't know if you remember, but maybe a couple months ago, I can never keep track of time during this presidency. But he talked about, I got a fat friend. He bought Ozempic in England, and it was this price. He came over here. He's so fat and nasty, but he's a nice guy. So he is supposedly working on getting drug prices down and having us compete with other countries. You know, it is messed up that we would be charged more for the same drug by the same company in this country than others. I agree with all that, but like, do real talk about it. 1,500%. What a buffoon.
Do you think he was projecting, or I don't know what it would be called, but do you think he really has a friend who's taking Ozempic and was a big fat slob, or is he talking about himself? Because he does seem to have lost weight. And a lot of people think that he started taking Ozempic because obviously he's not working out or eating better.
Of course not. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I mean, most of his talk is projection. So, yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all. What's going on chat? Anything?
No, I mean, people are just laughing about the Powell stuff. Somebody named Rachel chimed in saying, you guys are the best. Oh, oh, nice, Rachel.
That's nice. Is it my wife?
The same last name.
Yeah. Oh. Glad that she's listening.
Someone else, 1,000%. LOL. Like, ay, ay, ay. This is the frickin' world we're living in, people. But
yeah.
All right, let's see. We got about 10 minutes left here. You got something? I got something? Where do you want to go?
I've got something that is somewhat meaningless. I'd like to talk about Hulk Hogan and him taking his final hit to the mat, you know, for lack of a better term. Hulk Hogan died, and I don't know if you remember this. I'm sure you do. There was a time that you and I interviewed Hulk Hogan. Do you remember?
We did?
Yeah.
You're confusing him with Randy the Macho Man Savage.
No, I'm not. We
interviewed Hulk Hogan?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got it. I've got a tape of it somewhere, you know.
Something tells me I'm being set up here. Okay. Yes, I do remember when.
No, you're not being set up. I don't have the tape to play, but we interviewed Hulk Hogan when we were on the Buzz many years ago. And
okay.
You don't remember it, but that's
smoked a lot of pot back then. So.
That's true. Back then, what are you talking about? Listen, right. Dude, Hulk Hogan, professional wrestler, died 71, supposed heart attack. I don't know why I say supposed. He had a heart attack, and they tried to get him back.
It's a conspiracy.
Right. But Hulk Hogan turned into... we interviewed him before he turned into kind of a douchebag. I don't know if you remember, he had a sex tape, and he was married, you know, he did something with Bubba the Love Sponge. Then he was caught on tape using racial slurs. Then his son, Nick, I hate it when these people named Nick, you know, have bad lives and are bad people, but, he was a big druggie. He got arrested for a bunch of stuff, and, Hogan was caught on the jail phone talking to his son about illegal stuff. But yeah, he turned into quite the douchebag. You think he was always a douchebag, or did it just finally come out?
It's a great question. I mean, some people, and we've seen a lot of evidence of this, I would actually point to Bill Maher. Like, some people, the older you get, the more conservative you get, the more angry old man on the front porch you get.
Sure.
And I do feel like Bill Maher, ever since COVID, has become a bit of a grumpy old man on the porch, yelling at the kids, get off his lawn. And so was Hogan always a conservative douchebag, or did he age into it? It is hard to say. But I will tell you, I just hate that somebody like Hogan, the back in the 80s when we were in, you know, middle school and into high school, like, he was cool. He was a celebrity, and I was never, like, into wrestling per se, but I watched it humorously in the Saturday morning cartoon they had. I mean, he was a huge celebrity.
Yes.
Didn't talk politics. We could all like the guy.
Completely.
And then he's on that very short list of celebrities that aged in, came out of, whatever, as being mega. And yeah, so when I saw the other day he died, I was like, whatever. karma catch up to you?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know.
You know, it's such a sad thing, because I was talking to Rachel last night about Hulk Hogan, and I was like, dude, I remember when he picked Andre the Giant up over his shoulders and body. I was watching it live, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, he was a hero, dude. He was his theme song, I am a real American. See, dude, Hulk Hogan used to be a good guy, turned into a Trumper, now he's dead. 71, he went early. That turns your heart black, dude. He had a heart attack.
It's funny. Now, why is Trump still here?
I don't know.
Is he just like the source of it, so he's invincible? Or
God, yeah. Who knows?
I don't know. Body slam in peace, Hulk Hogan. I miss you for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Rest in peace. Rest in nothing.
I've got one story that I'll tell you. This came out of my local news cycle today. I've not actually seen this on the national news yet.
Ooh.
So why don't we be one of the first to spread it around the globe?
Breaking news.
That's right. And it's a disturbing story, quite frankly. I do live in a national forest. I live near Lake Tahoe, and you know, we have a lot of concerns around here in the Northern California, Northern Nevada area about wildfires. I mean, it's fire season right now, which I hate that there's a thing now called fire season.
Right.
There's countless fires burning around the western U.S. There's been smoke in the air recently from some fires in Northern California. As you know, well, I got evacuated a few years ago for the Caldor fire that came within about a half a mile of my house, and I was forced to pack everything up and flee. I had a fire in my new house here, you know, like a couple of weeks ago. I walked out my front door, and there's this huge plume of smoke. I'm like, oh, that fire's a little closer than I thought it was.
Yeah.
And also just the Forest Service in general. They have reduced the budget. They've reduced staffing. We're into summer season, so there's usually seasonal people that come on for the peak season that have not been hired. And so there's a little gaslighting going on here. The Forest Service is claiming that they are fully staffed for the season. Now, despite the Trump administration's public pronouncements that it has hired enough wildland firefighters, documents obtained by ProPublica show a high vacancy rate, as well as internal concern among top officials, as more than 1 million acres are currently burning across America. Less than a month ago, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, who is the same idiot that suggested people on Medicaid should go pick crops to pay for everything, they announced that the Trump administration had done a historically good job preparing the nation for the summer fire season. She said, quote, "We're on track to meet and potentially exceed our firefighting hiring goals." Since then, the Forest Service assertions have gotten even more optimistic, claiming that they have staffed up 99% of their firefighting hiring goals. So nothing to see here. However, according to the internal data, the characterization is dangerously misleading. She admitted a wave of resignations from the agency. Many senior management positions remain vacant. Layoffs from the DOGE baloney.
Yeah.
Voluntary deferred resignations and early retirements have severely hampered the wildland firefighting force. According to the internal national data, which has not been previously reported, more than 4,500 Forest Service firefighter jobs, as many as 27%, remain vacant as of 1 week ago.
Wow.
That's a 27% gap. 4,500 human beings that will not be out there in a fire. Most fires only have dozens or maybe a few hundred firefighters. So 4,500. That would not be 99% staffed up.
No.
So we are dangerously understaffed, and they're denying it outright.
That's, I mean, I believe it, but it's unbelievable. Did you see Gavin Newsom on the Sean Ryan's podcast at all?
I don't think so, no.
It was a great interview. And Gavin Newsom, the reason I bring it up is that he was talking about the fires over the past couple of years and what all these firings of their fire department is going to do. He did talk about Trump raking the forest, you know, and that,
yes, vacuuming.
Yeah, he talked about it, and he said, you know, he still talks about that's what California needs to be doing. As you know, dude, living in an area where we have seen a lot of forest fires, Smokey Bear's original home.
Right.
Listen, prescribed fire operations. It takes a lot of manpower to do that. What do you call it when you clear part of the forest to stop the fire? What's it called?
Well, prescribed fires. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but when they bulldoze down like a section so the fire will stop, you know.
Fire line.
Yeah. Those take a lot of manpower to get that stuff done, and that is a year-round thing that just doesn't happen during fire season. He was talking about all the lack of firefighters and how much that's going to threaten everybody in California. There's no way they're fully staffed. Gavin Newsom has no reason to lie about that stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely happening.
Yeah. And again, this is Trump taking something that is kind of, well, is true, but then he warps it in his brain. We are not out sweeping or vacuuming the forest floors.
No.
But there is prescribed burns where you try to burn a natural break in what could be a progression of fire. And then there's also a thing called defensible space that before I moved to this area, I'd never heard of. Most people don't have to worry about defensible space.
Yeah.
But all of us homeowners and anyone living around here, you are required to have defensible space around your home, meaning you're clearing dry vegetation or trees that are too close to a house. Like, that's what Trump is trying to talk about, is prescribed burns for fire breaks, defensible space. But instead, he's like, they're not out there raking the forest floors.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I think idiots.
Yeah.
Yes. Good luck, Western U.S.
Once those fires happen, let's not forget all the pilots and stuff like that that we need to come and actually dump water on those fires. The lack of staff will only add to all the homes burning down in these and acreage in these forest fires. So it's a bad thing.
Yes. And there's nearly 5,000 people were understaffed. I mean, those are the kind of people that when an epic fire breaks out, you got to get a few hundred, a few thousand from here. Like you start sending people in to double up effort. So if we're stretched thin already, there is no extra manpower to do that.
Yeah.
And it's a real freaking threat. Let me tell you, I've had too many fires near my home.
You ever heard about all hands on deck? That's what that means, dude. All hands on deck. And with this last California fire, we had to see people coming over from Mexico to help out, you know? So there you go.
And they come from some town or whatever, and then that town's left without as many firefighters. I mean, it's a ripple. And it's disgusting that the Trump administration is trying to say they are 99% staffed up when they are not. So add it to the gaslighting list, and good luck to us all.
He doesn't know percentages. 1,500%. Right. Oh, boy. All right. Well, that was your week in review, dude. That's going to do it for our time.
I appreciate you. And we appreciate everyone chiming in. There's a whole discussion going on in the comment section there, so I'm glad you guys are all having fun. And thank you for the positive words of support in there. And yeah, check out everything going on here at Really American. There's a lot of great podcasts on this channel and a lot of the great short form videos going on. So check out all of that stuff.
Like and subscribe. And thanks for joining our podcast and being part of the resistance. Take the weekend off, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll see you next time.
This has been another production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Don't forget to check out all the social media, as the boys are on most platforms. Thanks for being part of the resistance, part of the pushback. Champions all around. Good day.